Ramble.
The rain on your skin. No, welcome to Guilty Pleasure.
Can't sing the whole thing, Kelsey. That's
only
why.
You can
it's
let it
so
in.
It's so catchable, you
it's
know?
So catchable.
It's like the flu. Once you got it, all your friends want to sing it too.
Natasha Bedingfield, I'm glad that she's having a moment.
Yeah. I'm sorry it happened in this way, but I'm so glad that song is back.
Yeah. All right. Fucking.
Oh.
Already.
We're going to start right out the gate.
No,
this
we're
way,
not. We got to do the synopsis.
No.
We got to do a synopsis.
Go for it.
No one even knows what movie we're talking about.
Nobody even knows what movie we're talking about.
They should with a Natasha
boy.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
We're talking about Anyone But You, the new Sydney Sweeney, Glenn Powell rom-com.
DP.
They say it's bringing rom-coms back, this
who,
movie.
Say who?
Says the interwebs.
Who say?
Them.
This movie made a ton of money.
Yeah.
And it was a grower, not a shower.
Oh, love it just those. Kept people kept seeing it.
It just kept chugging along.
It came out technically in 2023, but they did a re-release and extended theater run in 2024 for a Valentine's Day special.
Oh, nice.
Smart.
And it kept growing, I guess.
It quadrupled the budget.
Yeah, because like nobody had a rom-com in like years, ages.
It was Jennifer Lawrence last year brought us, what was that one?
No Hard Feelings.
Thank you.
I fucking wish we did that movie.
Yeah.
Please do the synopsis.
I think as you kind of talked about with Olivia Rodrigo, the rom-com lane is wide open. The world is desperate, hungry for a rom-com. And the only ones that are being made right now are going straight to Netflix, straight to streaming. So to have a theatrical, big comedy like this was exciting. The months leading up to this, all we could hear was about Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell maybe fucking behind the scenes and then being like, no, we're not. But everyone being like, oh, my God, their chemistry is so electric. Oh, my God. We just for the record, I don't believe they did.
No.
Okay. That's like where history is sided.
Her and her fiance were producers on the movie. I believe this was her production company. She started one.
Yeah.
She picks all the scripts. She does all the things. I think she probably cast Glenn herself. Like, it was probably a family decision. And he was there on set every day, apparently.
The fiance.
Yeah. Or maybe they had a fucking threesome. I don't know. Glenn Powell did break up with his girlfriend during the release of this.
That's the
film.
One that really likes.
That's
that was
the
flare, you know, that was just like, everybody's, wait, why did you break up with your.
There's smoke here.
Yeah, there's smoke.
But couldn't it be that, like, this is Glenn Powell's biggest theatrical release and that just creates chaos?
Wow. With the Top Gun Maverick would like to have
his
a word.
Biggest
I literally forgot. I genuinely fucking forgot.
That's,
but like that on top of all that travel, back-to-back PR tours,
I think that would degrade any relationship.
But
I think that the reason why Sydney Sweeney's didn't degrade is because he was also on the...
Yeah.
He was on set with her. He got to spend time.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's all about spending time.
Together. Quality time.
Quality
but
time.
The ex did post something on Instagram when they broke up of, like, her walking away in a sexy, like, slow-mo. And the caption was, know your worth and let it go.
Whoa!
So it makes it sound like...
Anyway.
Please. It makes it sound like he was the one to be like, I can't do this anymore. And she was like... I'm worth, you know, that thing
I think
do.
It in my eyes, it makes me feel like she was just like, when am I going to see you again? And he's just like, I literally can't.
I'm a star.
I can't do anything about this schedule that I have agreed to. I am under contract.
My dreams are coming true, bitch.
My dreams are coming true. And then she was like, wow, I need to step away from this.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Should we do a little synopsis?
Do it.
Anyone But You stars. The hottest blondes in town, Glenn
hottest
Powell
blondes.
And Sydney Sweeney.
I wasn't there.
Ouch. Good for you. Know your worth.
The silence that rang so loudly.
Ouch. Ouch. They have a one-night stand, but a little miscommunication makes him think she hates him and her thinks he hates her. And now they hate each other, which would be fine, except that... Her sister and his best friend's sister are getting married in Australia. And wouldn't you know what happens when your best friend's sister gets married in Australia? Why, you have to fly as one of the only six people at the wedding. Because that's what...
I'm sorry.
Because that's what happens when your best friend's sister gets married. That you're one of the only guests. And actually, you're the only non-family member guest of age of the bride.
Please, just listen to what was just said. And please just try to decipher what actually happened during this synopsis. And I pray and I am begging you to understand that is word for word what the movie is.
Listen, I gotta say this now. I'll admit it. You got me. I'm the one that suggested this film. I threw it in there kind of nonchalant, like, hey guys, this is really getting a lot of buzz. I knew this was gonna be a shit show because all I've been fucking seeing on my For You page is the love, the absolute, this is my rom-com of all rom-coms. And the this goes right in the fucking trash team.
Yeah, okay.
They are beating the shit out of each other. It is causing a culture war. They're literally like canceling TikTokers because they're like, wow, you're just trying to be controversial by not liking this film.
Then
or like,
why would you make
wow,
this
you're being
this
a
episode?
Pick me trying to like this
no,
film.
I think
why are you
a
bringing
of...
me into the firefight?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, why are you bringing me, if people are getting fucking dragged on TikTok, why are you bringing me to the firefight?
Yeah, I'm just saying it's going to make for good content. Am I right, Rainey?
Yeah. I think that people need to have a higher standard for rom-coms. I genuinely don't think that this was like a awful like take on Much Ado About Nothing at all. Like I think that it was, you know, pretty
modern.
Pretty, I guess, a modern take on Shakespeare, which also has a lot of plot points and can get pretty complex, I guess, but. You're putting this against like good rom-coms like Knocked Up, you know, like I think the two camps are coming from people on the one side saying like throw this in the trash because they have a high standard of what they were watching when
real
they were growing up. Real rom-coms
yeah,
that were fucking hilarious
yeah.
and very poignant and very beautiful versus like, you know, growing up with mediocre ones or like normal ones.
But pray
or whatever.
Tell, Garrick, I was thinking about this like. What was the Jennifer Lawrence one?
No Hard Feelings.
So people were like, that was the first rom-com we'd had
in a
long
while.
Time.
Yeah.
But it was so, these are their words, not mine. It was so raunchy. It was so expletive. It was too much. It was like, but so what I think this nailed, right?
Yeah.
We just did How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. What anyone but you nailed is the cheese factor. It is the predictability. It is the quirky, kind of clumsy lead girl, the stupidly hot guy, the will they, won't they. We all know in the end. I think that that's the chemistry and the formula of a rom-com. And if we can just get that back in, we'll be okay.
One thing I just to finish the synopsis because I forgot to is they decide to pretend to be in a relationship because everyone wants them to pretend to be in a relationship and then they stop pretending and then they pretend again and then they actually fall. It's a whole thing.
I can't believe we forgot to add that.
I just
entire
you know we,
ending.
Yeah,
the combo moved on thing. Before we launch full into a debate of like is it good or is it not.
Yeah,
let's break it down. We'll slow our roll. We'll get
yeah,
there.
Let's
don't
do
you
let's
worry.
Do yeah. We'll,
so I tell me like. I don't know where to start. Yeah, I guess,
why was this movie important to you? Why did it speak
okay,
to your
okay,
soul?
First of all,
why did it speak
my
to your
family's
soul?
Important to me.
Yeah,
okay?
Okay,
this movie was watched over Girls Weekend this past weekend. And I'm not going to lie, I had gone to bed at 5:30 that morning because it was Girls Weekend. We were in Aspen partying a little bit.
Yeah.
So when we turned this film on, I didn't fall asleep.
Okay.
However, yeah. I woke up the next morning super fucking early by myself in the kitchen. Turned it back on because guess what? I had to know what happened.
Okay.
I had to know what the fuck happened. I had to know if they got together. I had to know if they fell in love. I had to see her fall off the boat and see if he could swim and the spider up his asshole. Like there were hijinks and shenanigans that somehow kept me sucked into this. And I watched it to the end and said out loud to no one, damn, that was so bad. It was good.
Oh, man.
I think an easy place to start, you know, rom-com hinges on your leads. So you have Sydney Sweeney, Glenn Powell, and then their chemistry. Let's break it down. Let's talk about them.
Undeniable.
Let's break it down. Let's talk about them.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about their chemistry. Let's break it down. Talk about them. And then we'll talk about
it. Who you want to start with?
Glenn Powell, I think, is great.
He's fantastic.
I think he's got the juice.
I think he's got it, man. I think that... I didn't know that I believed either. I was watching
especially
it,
after fighter jet plane movie. Yeah. Sorry.
Top Gun Maverick, the sequel to Top Gun.
Thank you.
I was just like, who is this guy? He's pretty charismatic, but he's also like really good at playing an asshole. So I'm sure that he's like, I don't know if he can play a funny person. And then the movie starts and it continues and it's just like, oh wow, you're a funny guy. You're a humorous character.
There's an opening scene where like they're meet cute in a coffee shop.
Very good meet cute.
It's good. She has to use the bathroom. He pretends that they're married so that she can get the bathroom code. And Maggie's sitting on the couch with me and she goes, oh my God, he's a gentleman.
That's so funny.
Yeah, that's a very well constructed meet cute. Yeah. Like it's like it's not two people running to their respective jobs and bumping into each other, dropping a bunch of like files on the floor and being like, oh, this one's yours, this one's yours.
Yeah.
It is just like
modern.
Somebody looking at a situation and being like, I could probably help out here.
She's cute.
She's adorable.
I will say for the record on Maggie's behalf that the scenes then that followed, she went, I now have the ick.
Oh, okay. Well, there it is.
But like he is there's a trailer for Twisters, the upcoming Twister.
I cannot fucking wait for that.
And it's I saw him, I'm like, oh no, Glenn Powell is a star, actually. Yeah. I'm on board.
Yeah.
He's born to be this cocky dick.
Yes. Yeah.
In a way that it's funny. Culture has come full circle where we were overrun with the beautiful blondes.
Oh my God, you're nailing it.
And we were like, nah, actually, we want no more.
We want
no
dark, more. Quirky, twisted daddy.
And now we're like, actually, Taylor Swift dating the football player, I'm back.
We're back.
Yeah.
Like, I actually want these.
The quarterback.
I want the quarterback. Everybody's
I want
back.
The quarterback.
Yeah.
We've
Letterman
been missing
jacket,
the quarterback
in
media.
He's the first one back.
I think
I would say, like, as a leading man, a likable leading man, he's the first one back.
When I started the movie, Sequoia was like, damn, were they not able to get Ryan Reynolds? Is that why he's in this? And then, like, I was like, I kind of came in with that mentality. And then as you continue to watch, I'm like, no, I think he's got his own kind of lane that's a little bit more, I guess, like, self-aware of the douchey face, I guess. Or, like, I don't think he has a douchey...
He's got douchey
energy.
Okay, douchey, or whatever.
He knows it.
Yeah. But I think he plays it very well and strong and funny.
If anything, me and my girlfriends were laughing at that opening scene because it's, like, Glenn Powell, Sydney Sweeney in a, New York City coffee shop. And I was like... We're going to just pretend that those two people just happen to be in the same place at the same time and everyone else just is existing like a regular ass fucking. Yeah. If those two walked in together, I would be like, everybody stop.
I think everybody would just start like, just be like, okay, let me part the seas. Because also, if you're saying you can't use the bathroom to Sydney Sweeney, I'll come in there and fight you myself.
Yeah.
That's not. I don't understand.
That bladder the must movie, be protected.
Yeah.
The movie
she can't have fucking kidney stones.
You weren't sure if you agreed with me at first, but you got
that. Yeah.
What does he do for a living?
He's like
data.
He's a day trader or something like that. In the background, you can kind of see his stocks.
Lines.
His stonks in the background.
Yeah, okay.
He had one scene where he tried Australian coffee and was kind of like... You know, all hyped up, coked out, and it's really good. I don't have a joke to say,
funny.
But he nailed it. It's comedy.
It's comedy. He's doing it. He's nailing it. He's nailing it. Like
he do
in
comedy.
That scene, he do comedy. In that scene, he's talking about how his when he was a new finance guy, he got hazed, and then his upper finance guys or whatever were just like. We're going to have you do heroin or something like that.
Meth.
Meth, yeah.
he was like, what have you never... He said something about meth, and she's like, why have you tried? He's like, no. Yes, once. Okay, I was hazing. It's one of the new... The partners of the firm made us do it. It's whatever.
Yeah.
It was
then,
good.
And then there was a callback where he was just like, it feels like a little
physical
bit of crack.
The timing. Yeah. He was the only one that had the timing down
for
jokes.
And Gata.
Gata, but they edited it incorrectly for Gata, which I was sad about because he's the funniest person alive.
So Gata, we'll get to Sydney Sweeney in a moment, but Gata from
Dave,
Lil Dicky fame, is the best friend in this movie. And we were texting before this. No, no, the fuck they're not. Not.
Those two.
These two are not friends.
They're not friends. They're not. They're not friends.
What do they have? One name one thing they have in common with each other.
A penis?
They both like Little Dicky. Like, I guess.
They are like, it's also, so Gata's sister is getting married to
Sydney Sweeney's
sister.
Lesbian
couple.
Yeah.
But Gata's dad is white and Australian.
Gata's stepfather.
Dad.
Stepdad. Are we sure it's a stepdad?
I don't know because I said this on text, but this is the first time that I was like, less diversity. Please. I don't understand. I didn't know what was going
on. You
like,
did not believe those children were biracial from a white dad and a black mother.
I was like, there's no way that Gata is biracial, for one. There's no, she might be biracial.
But also,
he
what
might
do we
be
gain
her
story-wise from him having a stepdad? Like, it's just confusing my brain. These are C-tier characters in the story.
Yeah.
Don't make, just fucking, don't make it a stepdad. Just give me fucking Gata's dad.
So it wasn't even that was the most confusing, because it was like, sure, that's, you know, that kid like throw a wrench at things, but it's pretty easy to follow. The thing that made it more confusing is that the stepdad, who was Australian, and then Sydney Sweeney's dad looked alike. Uh-huh. And I was like, all right, which one are we talking about? And you have four parents now who are now like having interactions with each other who are also interchangeable.
Meddling.
And then also referring to their daughter or son, not by name, but by daughter and son. And I'm like, I don't know who you're talking about.
Did you smoke weed while watching this?
No.
Okay.
Also, I want to correct you that Sydney Sweeney's dad is Dermot Mulroney. So put some respect on the goddamn name.
I'm aware. Yeah, he's a good looking old. He still got it. He did. And I do feel bad for like throwing dirt on his name or anything like that, or saying that they're interchangeable. But it was just like the introduction of everybody at the same time just wasn't handled well for me.
Can we please talk about Sydney Sweeney now?
Sydney Sweeney, comedy star. She really, really, really won. You know what? I don't actually want to start.
Yeah.
Okay,
you can
I'll start.
Yeah.
Our girl looks the motherfucking part. Am I right? You know where she didn't belong? Madam Web. You know where she belongs? Smack dab in the middle of a sunny boat fucking love bikini rom-com movie. As our boys will follow up with their complaints, I will say I think she's an incredible actress. In Euphoria, I never have ever been happier is one of the best monologues of all time.
Yes.
I think where the problem lies, and at first I said, well, maybe she's just not comedy, because we saw her SNL performances. It was like, whatever. I just thought maybe she's not a comedy girly, right? And I don't think that's it. I think it is the way in which she talks. Her vocalization is like that, like, will fucking either fuck you or ruin your entire life. And that just doesn't work when you're earnestly saying, I can't believe you think I would like you this way and how you ruined my sister's wedding. It just couldn't be funny because her vocal fry is too blasé.
That's fair.
That's
real, because it comes across as insincere and sarcastic. All of the
like
the
lazy scene. Almost.
Yeah, all of the scenes where, but the thing that really like in the cold open before the 6 months earlier, she's a completely different character.
She's great.
She's great, and she's very like adorkable and all of that stuff, and she's pulling that the fuck off. And I'm like, oh great, this is like a new age Alison Brie. This is sick. And then you jump towards her, I guess, feeling sad about law school and confused about life in general. And it, for whatever reason, turns into her like kind of resting on her Marilyn Monroe laurels a little bit and doing
when
the
it
husky
gets
voice.
Intimate, I think. Like, it's a lot of push-ins. It's a lot of close-ups. And even the steamy moments that everybody is talking about on TikTok and slowing down and saying, oh, my God, I felt uncomfortable watching because it was too fucking hot. Mm-hmm. It was too sexy to be in a rom-com. Like it just didn't land as, oh my God, cute. Like, are they going to? It was like, oh my
God. Is he? Is this a
I'm fucking Buck horny is, right now.
Maybe this is a Gen Z thing. I don't know. But the earnestness in Glenn Powell's performance of being like funny and trying versus her like being like, nah, I'm too cool for all that shit. Nah, I'm not gonna try it, dog. You got it, big dog, or whatever. Yeah. It was like a golden retriever person talking to a Doberman pinscher person.
Like a sexy Doberman with like a big pearl chain collar.
Right. Or just like, I mean.
And I don't want to sexualize her because that's all everyone does.
That's all everybody does.
It was like too intimate for a rom-com.
This movie wanted Sandra Bullock.
The proposal is sick.
I watched that this weekend too.
I fucking love the proposal.
It's amazing.
It's so good. It's
adorable. Every rom-com wants Sandra Bullock, and you want these wacky hijinks. And here's the thing is like, you're not even going to hear the rest of what I say because you're going to disagree with this. I didn't believe their chemistry.
I didn't believe it either.
Which is crazy to say, but like, the movie, okay, for a rom-com to work, like, you want there to be this thing where we want them together, but they don't know that they're supposed to be together, and then it's like, and then I want you to kiss. Yeah. But from the first second I see these two, I'm like, well, you're both obviously stupidly hot.
Yeah, they should be fucking.
So, like, you both know that, right?
I wish.
And they can't even pretend that they don't know that. Mm-hmm. They can't even pretend in the movie that they don't both know that they're just stupidly hot.
Yeah.
It would have been more believable if the guy was her ex-boyfriend fiance. If that was the lead, I would have believed that.
Yes.
And Glenn Powell being the new.
Yes. You're talking about the Australian?
Our
like
boy
if they
would
have reversed roles, I would have been like, this is my new favorite rom-com. But you're right. Like,
I would have loved to watch them play off of each other. I would have rather if the cold open happened and the meet cute happened and then they left and then it shot to 6 months later and then they hate each other and you're watching this entire movie like, what the fuck happened? It was so adorable.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, so like.
That's much better because they have this misunderstanding that from the first. Okay, rom-com has a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
It's usually the second act break where it's like, she overhears, it's like, I'm just doing it so that I can run my dad's newspaper.
I love my dad's newspaper.
And then they're like, what?
I love the Daily Flush.
Like, no, it started so that I could run my dad's newspaper.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
It started that way, but now I care more about you than the newspaper.
Yeah, I don't care about bets. I didn't make the bet. Timmy did. Or something.
It's always a fucking bet.
It's always a bet.
That's every movie, and we know that moment's coming.
Yeah.
This does that in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And now I'm watching the entire movie, and I'm like, guys, this is a very, very easy misunderstanding to settle. And once you realize it, it's over.
Clear it up.
Just clear it up.
It's so easy. You're just like, hey. And then also.
Garrick just rearranged his seating position. He's
taking
rebooting.
Out seats.
Okay. So. I am jumping to the end of the movie. I understand that when they make up in all of this stuff. Her reason for not dating, for leaving at the beginning was that she said, sometimes things feel too good or I feel too much fire and sometimes I have to put it out. I have to throw water on it. That's a lie. She's lying. The movie is lying to us because at the beginning of the movie, in the cold open of the film, she leaves because she doesn't know how to date at all because she's only been with one dude in one relationship for her entire like dating age or whatever. And
you're
so
right.
And
she's
so
never
she,
exhibited that pattern
no,
once in her life.
No, never
but
once
see,
in her
I
life.
See, I read it as like she didn't know what she was supposed
no,
to
no,
do.
But no, but that's true. She didn't know what she was supposed to do.
But
so
what
this
she
whole,
says
like,
is when things are too good,
I put fire on it. I fuck them up.
But that's objectively false.
That's false. Mm. That's a plot hole in a rom-com. There's no plot holes in rom-coms, guys. It is boy meets girl. It is they fall in love. They have a misunderstanding in between. They mix it up or Shenanigans, hijinks. There's a spider up somebody's ass. Super easy.
Yeah.
The fact that there's a plot hole in a what?
Yeah.
What? What are we talking about, guys?
Also, the other plot hole. What was the deal with his dead mom?
Yeah.
I kept waiting for that to come back in some way.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the wrench.
The wrench.
Okay, in the first scene, she goes to his house, and there's, like, a wrench with
a spotlight.
Yeah, that's
an unanswered question.
And she's like, what about that? And he's like, well, broke. My mom taught me before she died, researching spiders in the Amazon, that nothing's too broken to be fixed, which is a very obvious metaphor.
Very beautiful, very metaphor.
I literally said aloud, well, that's going to come back soon.
Yeah, right, that's going to come back soon. Are we going to meet this guy's dad, this guy's widowed father?
Or he'll, like, use a fucking wrench to fix. That's so funny.
It doesn't come back at all.
He says
wait,
again,
also, remember?
With the pool.
No, there's another. He has an ATM machine in his house.
Oh,
and she goes,
where the fuck did the ATM machine come back from?
And she goes, what's that? He's like, well, that's a story we'll have to get into another time.
It literally made
me
think
they never come back.
They never come back.
I literally thought that maybe he was like a criminal. I was like, oh, so he's a criminal,
that's
and the girl's
insane.
Like, no.
Oh, there are so many pitches that would have made this a more fun movie. Like, just like, other than watching
he brings his mom back up when he's teaching the dad how to dive.
Yeah.
And he's like, my mom taught me how to dive. He literally can't swim.
He can't swim.
The whole movie is him not being a good swimmer.
Yeah.
And yet then the next scene is him teaching her dad how to dive into the
dive.
Pool.
It was a funny callback when he jumped off the cliff and then the dad was just like, I got it. And then
I have full body chills thinking about this ATM that...
This is
ATM to nowhere.
Never
he has a chained up ATM in his house. What the fuck?
This is so funny. And like when she left his house, it did look like she was leaving like an old Bank of America.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, he lives in an abandoned Bank of America.
That was confusing.
I guess New York real estate is that bad.
But see, here's the thing is like there were moments that genuinely made me laugh out fucking loud.
Yeah, because it's like scene by scene. I feel like they would make scenes and they're like, these two are adorable together. Mm-hmm. And then they just ruin the chemistry with a scene following.
It was almost like fucking God, the thing that made me laugh the hardest was Gata's dog being named Klonopin.
Klonopin, that's very
that
funny.
That is my
like, everything Gata says.
Everything
is
he
laugh.
Says. Everything
so
he says.
Funny.
And it's so dry and it's so like
fast.
You know, like so fast and kind of like out of it where he's just like, man, these white folk fucking put me in this movie. I'm going to say what they need me to say.
There's one point where a dog accidentally knocks over a wedding cake and he's like, bad dog. I mean, you killed that though, but
you got to read the room, man.
Yeah.
It's so,
so good.
Yeah.
His delivery is classic.
I wish that the scenes could have been a little bit more fleshed out and funny.
I think it was like, It was like case by case. You would enter a scene and you're just like, is this going to be a good one or is it going to be a bad one?
But I'm not going to fucking lie, dude. Why was I sucked in then? Because I do disagree with you saying that they didn't have chemistry. I think you have to be blind as a bat. Maybe it's that they don't obviously want to immediately get back together and fuck and solve their miscommunication.
Yeah.
But they had chemistry. He had comedy. The family was quirky and goofy and funny. The hijinks made sense to me. Nothing felt like out of the ordinary. My favorite Gata line was when he was like, look at us swaying back and forth on a boat with no reason for transportation or whatever. Like there was laugh out loud moments. So I can't figure out what it is that was like the most hated.
Go ahead, Zach. All right.
It's time.
At risk of never working in this town again, which, you know, it's already happening. No one's hiring me for nothing. I think that Will Gluck is my least favorite director in Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
This is too mean to say.
We did Easy A.
I know. And he ruined that movie, too.
What do you mean?
I think this man's a bad director.
Okay.
This is a toothless comedy. Mm. And first of all, the scoring of this movie is like on Spotify if you go to Easy Listening Road Trip. It is just this like, it's nice music, but bad scored. The tone is off the entire time. But this is a rated R comedy, right?
It is?
Yes.
Yeah. They say fuck a lot and nothing
else.
You
also see titties.
You see side nipple.
Side nipple from Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
You see...
full titty from the Australian girl.
The Australian girl topless on the beach.
Oh, I didn't
you
even
see
that.
A man puppet his foreskin.
Oh, yeah. The anteater.
The Australian man like takes his penis and goes like... Wah, 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 wah.
I just want Seth Rogen to line everybody up that is doing a rom-com and give him a good smack on the face.
A little smacky roux.
Just a little smack. Just
and I want Sandra Bullock to follow and say, this is how you do it.
This is it.
This is
how you fucking make one.
This is a rated R comedy that has no fucking bite. It has no edge whatsoever. And you talk about like memorable high drinks. To me, I don't see them. What are the trailer moments? What are the set pieces? What are the big moments? I knew, unfortunately, that this was going to be a toothless comedy from the first scene.
Why?
Because Sydney Sweeney runs into a coffee shop and she has to use the bathroom. And Glenn Powell says, "I'll wait for you out here." And she goes, "Okay." And then, like, what's the high drink that happens? She gets a little water on her crotch and she has to dry it off. Nah, dog. Make Sydney Sweeney take a big old shit. Make Sydney Sweeney.
You gotta take a big old dump.
Make Sydney Sweeney run into the coffee shop because she has to take the nastiest deuce of all fucking time.
You're
the
so
way
right.
The way that would have like
set the tone.
Set the tone and then also put Sydney Sweeney over the edge for me.
Yeah. Right?
I would have been like, "Oh, damn, she's fucking ripped, bro. That's so sick that she's down to make herself the butt of a joke."
Yeah. Girls poop, and you know who poops? The ones that you want to not think about pooping.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence.
They poop the most.
Jennifer Lawrence nails being the girl who poops that you don't want to see.
I mean, if we're talking about no hard feelings for just a second, Jennifer Lawrence doing full UFC moves, butt ass naked,
nude.
So fucking funny.
Yeah.
And that's
so
a ballsiness funny. That you need for a comedy. Yeah. There to me, there was one great, like truly great physical comedy scene. They're on an airplane. Sydney Sweeney like goes to bite a cookie. Glenn Powell's laying down in first class and her shirt gets stuck on the chair and she's like crawling over him. Her ass is in his face. It's like, it was tense. It was exciting. It was funny. She's got big wide eyes. It's physical comedy. But I think for a movie like this to work, especially if you're going to have an R rating, if you're going to have the rating, if you're going to show nudity and you're going to curse,
you
do something with it. I'm not trying to say that's the only way to do a movie like this. You don't need to go nasty.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have a setup of like, guys waiting for me outside the bathroom. What's the worst thing that could possibly happen?
You need to what hole. Would Seth Rogen do?
Yeah,
start putting WWSRD.
Some people like are just you got to have gross moments. You got to like for comedy, you kind of have to go there a little bit.
The movie's too nice to its characters. I think you know with any movie, but especially with a comedy, the question is, how do I make this as bad as possible for my characters? And they're pretty consequenceless a lot. Even the great trailer scene where they have their hands in each other's pants and then there's a spider. He rips off all his clothes. Then the scene's just over.
Yeah.
There's no consequences.
He wears
there's
her
no
clothes.
There's no hiding, right? Like he's naked in front of all of his friends.
Yeah. Even with the Oscars, John Cena came out. Presenting the costume award.
Great bit.
And he came out butt-ass naked without a costume on. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, that's taking a risk. That's coming out like, I mean, everybody's like, oh, he's being humiliated and all that stuff. He's not. John Cena shredded as fuck. Yeah. He's going to go out and he's like, look at how muscular
yoked I am.
Yoked I am. Who gives a shit?
I'd be thrilled to show the world my muscles.
Yeah. Those are the risks that you need to take in order for this to work and for you to try, I feel like try the same bit with no consequences. Nobody has to walk home naked. Nobody has to do anything. It's just like, okay, so
spend the next 5 minutes hiding in fun different ways with bushes and pretend they're doing whatever. Or maybe her hair gets stuck in his zipper or whatever. Yeah. Like you have to like draw it out and really make a set piece. So a lot of this movie is just pushing characters through scenes A to B, which is how you get to the thing that made Garrick cough laughing in the beginning, which is the ludicrous setting of this movie to begin with, which is they're going to Australia for a wedding. Why? Because the movie wants to film in Australia. Sounds great. I would also love to film a movie in Australia.
Sounds great.
Sounds dope.
Yeah.
But, okay. It's two sisters, no friends.
Nope.
But her brother's friend.
Yeah.
Only.
That's batshit.
And the sister's friend, who also happens to be the ex-girlfriend, but they're like not that close.
Who also happens to be in the Amazon.
Who also brought her boyfriend, who's not really her boyfriend, who she barely likes, who also shores his foreskin.
Right. So it's what? It's
that's her
Gata's sister.
Okay, so yeah, let's do the fucking family tree. So we've got Gata, the star of the movie. And he's got an Australian dad and his mom. Mm-hmm. And I believe his younger sister is getting married.
Correct.
Right?
Australian girl is his cousin?
No, Australian girl is
Gata's cousin.
No,
Australian girl
is nobody's cousin. Where are you getting cousin?
No. They said the word cousin.
Then she says, hi, auntie, to...
Why would they do this? They make Gata have Australian cousins through marriage because, again, they wanted to film this in Australia for some fucking reason.
Yeah.
Wait, so the hot Australian chick,
who
when Glenn, she gets
is Glenn
introduced,
Powell's ex.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gets introduced by
she was in,
Gata's sister, and she's like, oh, I invited, let's call her Mia. I don't remember her name.
Yeah, they're cousins. They're Mia, cousins. They're
and
for
he's
sure
like,
cousins.
She's like, I hope you don't mind. And then he's like, why would I mind?
Yeah, yeah.
That's her cousin?
That's her cousin.
Her name is Margaret, and I remember that because Maggie, her name is Margaret, and when the Australian girl is hitting on Glenn Powell, she goes, not a girl's girl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oof.
He really, like, jumped in there, and I was just like, maybe it's a cultural thing.
Yeah. You know?
Australians are all hot. I think it's important that we say it.
I think we need to
It's an
to
island
admit
of
it.
Criminals. And yeah. So, cousin Gata... So it's all family, and then on her side, it is Sydney Sweeney, two daughters, and then they invite Sydney Sweeney's ex. This is just, it's just plot contrivances.
The idea that the parents flew her ex-fiance 16 hours to Australia is so funny, but like in a weird fucking way, it made me think about like how bad parents are at like...
Reading the room
for you and your advice, like dating advice. You're like... Guys, also, you guys should get back together with that ex. And it's like, no, he was literally like a piece of shit. He cheated on. What are you talking about?
No, but like her reason for not dating him, which was very, very interesting, was like, we never fought.
It was too
everything
comfortable.
Everything was comfortable.
They were
everything
together
was
forever. She wanted to fuck around and find out. She wanted to fuck around the world.
Yeah.
And find out.
I think that that's like really nice because whenever he's, I feel like that's explainable and believable because every time Glenn Powell looked over at them, he was just like, oh, they're having a great time. This is like, why would I want to step in front of that? But he doesn't want to step in front of that most of the movie because he doesn't even know what he wants. And we also don't know what he wants. We don't know what anybody wants during this whole movie. I don't understand.
You don't know what they want.
I don't. Yeah, yeah. Nobody. No want is clearly stated. And if it is, it's pretty confusing because they're also confused.
It just dawned on me that in this movie, he has so many fun games to play. Right?
He's actually a guy who wants
to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
He's funny. He works in this crazy cuckoo New York City business. He's got like fun gigs and bits to do around town, but she's like going through it.
Yeah.
She's really fucking questioning her life, her choices, her exes. She's never fucked anyone else before. Like she's really having a hard time. And I think like that difference is what maybe didn't meld either was like, I wanted her to be having way more fun, but everyone's ganging up on her. They're all like, you need to get back with him. You need to go to fucking school. And he's just like, my life's perfect. I'm rich and I have an ATM in my living room. I have no problems. I think you nailed something on like the desires and wants.
Yeah.
Of the
it's
character.
A lot easier to play someone who wants than someone who doesn't want. Right.
Right. Right. Absolutely. There. Okay. So, there's a movie called with Alison Brie, which is very funny that I mean, I would they're interchangeable, Sydney Sweeney and Alison Brie in my mind. She had a movie called Somebody I Used to Know that I feel like does the confused, I don't know what I want from life female lead a lot stronger because it is just somebody who left a hometown, made it doing something that she didn't really want to do or didn't like really need to get into, but it just kind of happened. And her entire journey of like being more vulnerable through meeting or not meeting, but like reuniting with an ex and seeing that her life was nice here, but she wanted more. Like that whole angst of a mid 20-year-old or like in somebody I used to know, late or early 30s, that was sold so extremely well and so clear. And I think that in this movie, it gets a little muffled and hat on a hattie when you add two characters who are both confused about what they want.
Might I question, and we might not have an answer. We might not have an answer for this. Was the confusion of the plot, the family characters, directly lifted from Much Ado About Nothing?
I think
because
so.
Shakespeare
I'm glad you asked this.
Chaotic.
I think
so. This is now the most successful Shakespeare adaptation of all time, financially.
Hilarious.
Doesn't that hurt? This movie is an adaptation of Much Ado About Nothing. And if you didn't know that going in, don't worry. They're going to insist that you know.
Yeah.
When she leaves his apartment in the beginning, there is a giant quote from Shakespeare graffitied on the wall, dash, Shakespeare. It was driving me insane. Like, a movie like this, you get one little, a little winky woo, a little winkaroo. This movie insisted repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. At one point towards the end, when they're doing their wedding vows, she goes, "None is left to protest." And the dad goes, "That's quite good." And she goes, "I just made it up." Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. No, you didn't.
All of the overheard
things? Also Shakespearean between Gaeta and the dad when he was like, "Oh, my woman gone farther from ne'er window past." And he's like, "What the fuck are you saying?" He's like, "I'm from a different era." Or like, "What? I'm from a different generation." It was very in your face.
It's just...
It was there. It was like...
That's what you get when you adapt a Shakespearean fucking classic.
No, you get 10 things I hate about you.
Exactly.
You get a very good version of it.
You've never seen 10 things I hate about you?
We've been through this, and it was very upsetting when we had what it happened.
You're not allowed to suggest movies anymore.
Why did you pick me for this podcast?
Why did you see went straight for the jugular? Why am I on this podcast? That doesn't make any sense.
I can do the weird fucking thing, the little indie classics, the weird ones, but sometimes those ones I forget about. I just didn't, and you know what? I know a lot of people haven't seen it and are afraid to admit
the
it.
The charm.
Something About Mary? Never saw it.
You fuck.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very good. It's very adorable.
I saw Clueless, okay? There's hope.
And did you love it?
I loved it.
Of course you did. Yeah. The amount of charm that Heath Ledger has in one scene of 10 Things I Hate About You runs laps around this entire movie.
This is Heath Ledger?
It's Heath Ledger.
I hate you.
Let's make it a thing.
Yeah, unpainted Heath Ledger.
It's him in the fucking stands singing Frankie Valli with a full marching band behind him to declare his lug. love. "You're just too good to be true."
Right.
I thought that was just Jersey Boys.
He's a leather wearing bad boy who doesn't want love, doesn't care about anything. He wears
this is 10 Things I Hate About You?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt wants to take out a girl to the prom, but she's like a good girl, and her dad won't let her go to the prom unless her big sister does. Her big sister's Julia Stiles, and she's grumpy, and she doesn't like anybody. So like he pays the bad boy of the school, Heath Ledger, to seduce her.
The bet.
It's literally the bet.
What?
It's what we just talked about.
Yeah. Wait, who's the lead girl?
Julia Stiles, and then a girl that was like in a ton of 2000s movies. You'd be like, oh, her.
Yeah. I also wrote down probably a crime in dialogue. The Australian cousin is making coffee for Glenn Powell. And he's like, "Can I have some coffee?" And she's like, no. She's like, "Do you want a coffee?
You want some coffee, mate?
You want some coffee, mate? It's the best in the world." And then he takes it and he's like, "You guys are really proud of your coffee." And she responds with, "It's the best in the fucking world." What? What are we doing?
Why?
You couldn't think that is me responding to somebody while obviously running on 4 hours of sleep on autopilot, not wanting to have
social
a conversation.
Anxiety.
Social anxiety. The CD skipped. I said the same thing twice. And those are the moments that will make me stare at a ceiling fan for the entire night thinking about, I should have said something else. That's wild.
This movie slowly turns into Blade Runner where it's like you realize that all the cousins are replicants.
Yeah. Yes.
The movie really, you know, they had fun making the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they want you to know it. So this movie ends in a sing-along, much in the tradition of There's Something About Mary.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would say
Bollywood films. Where everybody on the cast and crew dances.
Natasha Bedingfield plays a big role in this movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just really quick, Natasha Bedingfield's her song, right? Unwritten. For the love of God, please stop making this banger of a track a punchline for your goofy comedies. It is not funny.
It is
a good song.
It's a great song.
It is not okay for you to keep punching at it, thinking that it is like isn't it so weird that he's listening to Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield? No. No, it's not weird. It's not weird at all. It's very sincere and it's beautiful.
Have you guys seen the TikTok of her in a movie theater? She's like in the hallway while everyone else is watching it and the song comes on and Natasha Bedingfield, like they're recording the screen of them all singing it and it whip pans to her and she's like, she like shrugged.
Yeah, she's like, what the
and
fuck
then
did
the,
I do?
The caption she put on TikTok was like, the strangest use of my song I've ever seen.
Yeah, because you're like, I feel like this is consistent throughout like a couple other movies and mediums.
You know what it is in Easy A, directed by Will Gluck.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the I've got a pocket. I've got a pocket. I've got a pocket.
Oh my God. Yeah, why did he do that to her twice?
That's what I'm saying. Will Gluck, fuck you, man.
Wow. Why does he hate Natasha Bedingfield? It's so weird. It's so weird. I love that song. It's a good song. It is not weird for anybody else to be listening to it in order to calm themselves down. Like, he's like, oh, it's so strange that he's, get the fuck out of here, dog. Anyway.
So they take Natasha Bedingfield's Unwritten.
Yeah.
And the end credits, it's a rom-com tradition. They did in There's Something About Mary. They did it in
Good Burger 2.
In Good Burger 2. So they're all singing the song. And they sing it through, this is the end credits, like every setup of the movie, they made them sing this song,
mm-hmm.
and they have pain written on their faces.
Written in their eyes.
They hate it.
They are hate, because you're seeing that they, like, they're running full scenes, like they have a woman whose hair is on fire doing this, they're in the water, and Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney are just in too many scenes, where they then had to be the ones to sing this. Over and over again. And I can imagine that they're going late. The crew is running on overtime. God. They're like, hi, can we just get some grace here? We're going to go for an extra 10 minutes into dinner. And they just make this poor fucking cast sing this song for the 14th time that week.
Mm-hmm.
Hell.
God, it's
absolute hell. Manufactured fun.
Yeah.
Did you see where they were presenting at the Critics' Choice and they started singing it and then Natasha Bedingfield came out and sang it and Glenn Powell's voice cracked on the first note? Yeah.
You ready for a fun fact?
Yeah, I have one if you don't say it.
I heard fact.
Facts.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
First, I want to share two of my favorite tweets about this movie. One is comparing Glenn Powell to a capybara.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He said that. He said that about himself.
Yeah. It's very funny where he responds to that tweet. And he's just like, why? Why? Why are
why
you
Why did
mean?
You guys chew this?
I love that he has a good sense of humor.
There's this photo of them. I don't know if it's even in the movie, but it's her riding on his back. And they're both smiling. You're laughing without even knowing the caption yet.
I know the caption.
Oh, you do?
What is it?
They both look like mice enjoying their last hours as humans before the spell wears off. It's a fucking perfect joke.
That
thank you, Storm
perfect.
Dorm 411.
Oh my God.
I'm sure that Glenn Powell like either liked it or showed a couple people.
Yes.
He's doing a comedy show with one of the OG Rick and Morty writers or the guy who made Loki.
That's cool.
And it should be good, I believe.
Can I tell a fun fact?
Go for it.
That scene where Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney are finding a Huntsman spider inside Glenn Powell's shorts. In that scene, Sydney Sweeney actually gets bit by the Huntsman spider and they are rolling on it, and she's screaming, and her screaming turns from like acting screaming to like for real pain screaming, and no one realizes that it's biting her, and she's like screaming, no, for real, it's right, and like no one's helping her. And then she had a big mark on her hand, and it was bad, and they have it on tape, and it's kind of silly if you watch it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That poor child.
Yeah.
I hope she's okay.
She is. She's doing quite fine.
I know, but like they're
getting $1 million an episode for Euphoria.
Oh, great. But there was like this one tweet that she put out where everybody was like, why are you complaining? You're probably rich and famous. And she was like, no, I'm not. I have to be in movies because I don't get most of the money that you guys think that I'm getting paid.
Oh, that was true.
And I was like, no, yeah, that's pretty. You get half, if not 45% of the money you get paid.
And then taxes, baby.
Well, she's got a bright future ahead because this was the top grossing R-rated comedy since 2015.
Wow.
It's the highest grossing since R-rated Deadpool? Rom-com since Bridget Jones's Baby.
Baby.
Well, that one, okay, so 2015 domestically, and then 2016 internationally because Bridget Jones' Baby is international.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. So domestically, the highest top grossing since 2015. Globally highest
grossing. I don't want to hear shit from you two bitches about me picking this fucking movie because people loved it. They are giving them a sequel, by the way.
I think people are.
No, they're not. What do you mean they're giving them a sequel?
She went on, was it Fallon? And what are they? They were like, what, people love this? What are the chances? And she was like, I would say a 9 out of 10.
What? What? Wow. What?
Yeah.
What is there left to do? Are they going to do The Tempest next?
Yeah.
Sydney Sweeney is Lady Macbeth.
I just genuinely think that this movie had such a chance to do the rom-com after a rom-com ends that a lot of people kind of beg for, where, you know, like I was pitching earlier with, you know, this thing, they have this meet cute. And then it jumps to like 2 years later or whatever. And then you're just like, what the fuck? How did this devolve? What's going on? Why are they exes now? We saw these two people be adorable. That's crazy. But they were just so adamant about adapting Shakespeare because they love Shakespeare, I guess.
They're actors.
What
I'm really hearing is Shakespeare's the one to blame for this.
I think so. I think making a movie is hard. I think making a movie is very hard, and I think that they tried their best.
That's very mature.
Yeah.
After his tirade for the last hour.
Yeah, I know.
Obama's in the house. Actually, what? He was at the Sydney Opera House when they were filming the climactic scene. Obama was there.
Wow.
So this is a quote from Glenn Powell, and I'm going to try and do it in my Glenn Powell because I can hear it. I'm flying in a helicopter above Sydney Opera House, and I'm dressed in a tuxedo. I get to jump out of a helicopter, run up to the girl, and confess my love for her, and it was just one of those moments. During that scene, Barack Obama is also watching us shoot that entire scene, so it was just loaded.
Whoa, wow. Obama watched the scene?
Was he, like, right off the, like, was he looking through the Sydney Opera House?
They should
Opera
have given
House?
Him, a, like, throw a shot his way.
He's like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And he's like, end a pass.
Yeah.
End a pass.
Honestly, this movie didn't need Obama. It was a success.
Yeah, it didn't need Obama. This is the first movie that ever didn't need Obama.
Christ.
There's a Glamour interview with Sydney Sweeney. She goes, quote, the biggest misconception about me, am I allowed to say tits?
Yeah. You can say the word tits, Zach. Okay, cool. I give you permission. As a woman out, with huge
it
knockers.
Start out here, so I just wanted to make sure. The biggest misconception about me is that I'm a dumb blonde with big tits. I'm actually a brunette.
Boom. Boom. Funny. Funny. Be funny.
Got it.
Be funnier.
She's got
it. She was a valedictorian of her high school.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. She seems like a genius. For what, like, I don't know what it is about, like, valedictorians are, like, secretly smart people. I think about this with, like, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is a literal genius who plays for the Boston Celtics. And whenever you interview him, immediately, or my guy that I don't remember his name, but he was in Modern Family and he played the youngest child of the Dumphy family.
Go for the original. Marilyn Monroe was brilliant.
Yeah, Marilyn Monroe.
She would hang out with philosophers and people were fascinated by that woman. Yeah. And everyone just wrote her off and thought that she was a dumb blonde.
Right.
The dumb blonde.
Yeah. And I feel like whenever they get that title, they make it a concerted effort to never reveal that ever again. For what
because America does it for them.
It's fucking, it's pretty sad. I'm sure she's a genius in her own right. And
yeah, she's making bank.
She's making bank. She's doing it. She's got it.
Good for her.
I think she's going to be pretty okay.
She's going to be all right. Be just fine.
Now it's time for us to decide, is this movie a pleasure or guilty pleasure or just plain guilty? Should people watch this film? Yeah. Kelsey D.
Listen, I feel like you'd be an idiot. You'd be the only one in America and maybe even internationally that hasn't seen the film if you don't watch it. So I think you should watch it if for nothing else than to just be, have a girl's night, make some pizza soup. Y'all ever heard of pizza soup? I had pizza soup for the first time this weekend. It's the best fucking goddamn thing I've ever had in my life. It tastes like you're eating pizza, but a soup. Get your girls around, pop a bottle, have a good time, oogle ogle over Gwen Fowles apps and Sydney Sweeney's big brain, and have a great time with this stuff.
She's smart.
It's a guilty pleasure.
You can tell that she's smart because she's dead behind the eyes. Anyway, it's a guilt for sure. It's not that I don't think anybody should watch this movie. I don't think that it should not be successful.
Just if you watch it and think it's good, then we think less of you.
Then we think less of you. Unfortunately, I do. You know, I can't do better. I'm not gonna say let's not. That's like maybe I can.
I think I'd like to give it a shot.
I'd give it a whirl.
Give it the old college try. See what we come up with.
Yeah, I think that there are. It's just, I don't know, cratered under a lot of like pressure, story or plot wise and story wise. I'm not sure what to do about it or how I would approach it.
I hope you guys enjoy this podcast because I'm going to have to delete every single episode in a couple years.
Yeah, I'm also going to have to just go just say like, hey guys, could you delete?
Go ahead and delete this episode. But yeah, this movie's a big old piece of poo.
Yeah,
she should have taken a poop in the beginning.
Yeah, she should have taken a fucking huge load.
Poop
should have taken a shit.
That would have changed it.
It just doesn't work.
Can you read the text that Maggie sent you? It was a while ago.
Maggie explained to them my face after finishing the movie last night. Maggie, please, guys, this movie's ass and paced in the most confusing way. I wish we could just do Dune twice.
And then Maggie said,
Zach looked like he was in physical pain, just quiet and upset. Boo!
The movie ended and my face was contorted like into a...
What's wrong with y'all? I had fun.
That is, and I think that is beautiful.
Yeah,
I think that is nice. I'm so happy that this movie brought
it's
people together and brought people to the movie theaters and all of that. I just genuinely think that the simpler, the better
it's
with a lot of these
It's not for critics.
Things.
It's for the people, okay? It's for the girlies.
Yeah, it's for the
girlies and the guests.
It's for the mice enjoying their last hours as humans.
It's for the spiders that are being researched in the Amazon while
Goodbye.
She was... fucking the...
Until next time, the rest is still unwritten.
You forgot to say I'm Corn Diddy on
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good Lord.
I'm at Corn Diddy on all the things.
I'm Kelsey Darrow on all the things.
I'm Garrett Bernard on all the things.
And until next time, my name's... I have an Australian... Dad, and I don't know, man.
The rest is still unwritten, like this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nailed it.